Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
Joining us now to say Tama Hotline. He's the athletic director at Georgia State. He's also a member of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. Charlie Cobb, good morning.
Hey, Scott, good morning.
Buddy, it's
happy
good.
Wednesday.
Well, happy Wednesday to you, sir. It's good to hear your voice again. I hope things are good for you in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a hectic time of year, but it's exciting. November, fall means football, so it's a great time of year.
Well, Charlie, we're not going to keep you long, and I know you can't get into too many specifics about the process of picking out the college football playoff rankings, but I want to ask you this question. What can you learn from your experiences on the selection committee and the process that you can take back to Atlanta that's going to help Georgia State, that's going to help the Sun Belt, that's going to help the Group of Five?
You know, I think, bar none, it's strength of schedule. When you with all the data that we have available to us and going through the selection process and all the criteria, there's 13 people in the room with 13 different perspectives and opinions and thoughts. As I've tried to explain to a couple of friends, we have the ability with technology to watch. I've probably watched 200 football games. And we can do it without commercials. We can do it without some of the extra plays. I can probably watch a game within 30 to 45 minutes to just get a sense of how teams play and how games go. That probably the average fan can't, doesn't have that technology. Candidly, don't also have the bias that maybe somebody would if they're an ardent fan of school X or school Y. But if I've learned one thing in this process, it's clearly that strength of schedule matters. When you try to compare teams.
You know, you kind of tipped me towards my next question. Again, I know you can't get into specifics, but I think the process is fascinating. How do you prepare other than watching games leading up to the meeting? And what are your own points of emphasis once the discussions start? What are the things you're looking for other people to note that you've already got in your mind that you think are important?
Yeah, you know, we have an incredible orientation process, and there's – you know, it's not reinventing the wheel as this, you know, the committee work and the decisions have been made over the last several years. But really four primary criteria, and this really gets into, there's still a lot of games left to be played and teams will play each other and there's some things that will happen. But it gets into champions, who won a championship, who won a conference championship. Head-to-head results matter. I know there's some conversations last night about Michigan, and Michigan State's probably the one outlier in our group. You get into strength of schedule matters significantly. And then, you know, results against common opponents. And so you look to see, you know, if Carolina played X and Alabama played them, what's that result if you're comparing those two schools as an example? So we have a set basis of what we look at and what we analyze, and that's pretty common knowledge. But at the end of the day, it's you're watching games. We have our own individual rankings, and then it goes into a collective pot, and then we discuss. I mean, we literally discuss every team that's on the board, and then probably another 10 or 15 that aren't. And I saw one of the fascinating commentaries last night was about, you know, why the committee, because you're really only interested in four teams and trying to put together the four playoff spots. And I think people, one of the things that I'm going to bring up to our group on Monday when we get back together is we need to remind people that we're also picking the New Year's Day bowl games as well, those slots. So we're really picking the top four, but we're really also picking the top 12. And so, you know, why are they worried about Penn State? Why are they having conversations about Penn State? They're not on the board. Well, Penn State conceivably could get into that discussion to be one of the top 12, and so you need to be able to prepare and have that dialogue along the way. But as somebody who loves college football, it's a junkie's dream, if you will, to spend 48 hours conversing with others who love the game of football each week, but then also the preparation that just, I mean, it's watching games. It's reading the stats, understanding who's hurt, who's not, what teams are hot, how they played the last several weeks, versus the beginning of the season. It's fascinating discussion.
Well, Charlie, I'll actually disagree with anybody that says they shouldn't rank the rest of them other than the New Year's Six Bowl. I agree with you. Yeah, there's a lot on the line. But I think being able to see who's outside that top four, who's from number 5 to number 25, I think that helps formulate who's at the top four, because you do have these games coming up against a Wisconsin, with a Purdue. Purdue suddenly looks more valuable when you see a number next to that name. Maybe make it a little bit easier for y'all to make your decision when you're picking those four.
Oh, yeah, and it's recognizing, kids and coaches and teams that have done well. Every conversation about every team is different, and you try to find some consistency in terms of how you analyze them, because at the end of the day, if teams play each other, they play in the same league, you can get a pretty good sense. But the reality of it is it's a national tournament, and so it's a great cross section, and we still got have several weeks to play, and things will play themselves out, and I think that's the beauty of the whole process, is that at the end of the day, what is today won't be tomorrow, and certainly won't be next week in the weeks to come.
Charlie, I like to imagine you or Mitch Barnhart or somebody else, in the middle of all this yelling and screaming, taking off your shoe and smacking it on the table and all that when that's going on in there. It's nothing like that, is it?
No. It's incredibly cordial. But, there are very pointed conversations, and people have strong opinions. And that's the debate is healthy. Being new and kind of walking through it, I kind of get curious about some of the post announcement criticism, and it's kind of fascinating. Some of the people that the social media world is interesting, because I think people make strong statements that they wouldn't if you were face to face or if they were part of this process. And you feel good about where you are when you leave on Tuesday, and we've all had a chance. We've all had a chance to say our piece inside the room, and it's a group decision, and so, but a very healthy one, and incredibly well run. Bill Hancock and his staff have put together. It's an incredibly well run process, and we feel like we're going to get it right every week.
And speaking of social media, he's Charlie Cobb, athletic director at Georgia State. You can follow him on Twitter at @CCCobb, Georgia State AD. And Charlie, just a couple more questions. Earlier in the program, we had Keith Gill on, the commissioner of the Sun Belt, and we were talking about conference realignment and some new schools entering the Sun Belt, and how I think the Sun Belt is now the premier Group of Five conference. And one particular school that we discussed was James Madison. James Madison is going to be making the transfer, or rather transition, from FCS to FBS. That means 2 years of basically purgatory. You're only playing for that week. Each week is your championship. Have you spoken yet to the athletic director at James Madison, or do you plan to reach out in any way, shape, or form and kind of maybe help guide him through that transition? Because I know you have experience at least at one other place, and I'm thinking you might have been involved at another. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, Scott, Jeff and I have been friends for a long time, and goes back to the days when I was at Appalachian, and Jamie, we had some great games, and especially football, basketball, some other sports, and what they've done up there is just tremendous. I mean, they've got facilities that are comparable to anyone, and they got a great program, and it's they're looking at it as the same opportunity we did when I was at Appalachian. We felt like we had done what we needed to do at the FCS level or 1AA level at the time, and if we had an opportunity to jump to 1A, the conversation is real simple. Do you want to be a big fish in a little pond, or do you want to be a smaller fish in a bigger pond and see where you are? And it's an institutional decision. A lot of times I think people get caught up in it. It's not the athletic director or the football coach making the decision. It's the president of the university. It's the board of trustees. I mean, it's everyone involved within the leadership of the university saying, hey, this is something that we want to take on. And I can tell you, I mean, the two most frustrating years, I've been fortunate to do this for a long time in a professional life, the two most frustrating years were those 2 years at App, when we were literally, as you say, in purgatory. We didn't get treated real well leaving the Southern Conference, which was, I think, part of what JMU's experiencing at the moment. And you kind of just you hate it for your kids, you hate it for your program, but you also understand it's kind of the rules of the game. Now I think the temperature in the college world is changed a little bit. I think James Madison has the opportunity to argue to say, hey, look, do we really need to have this 2-year window, or can we shorten it? I get to be involved in another NCAA group, and we've got a situation where a Division III school has kind of fast tracked their move to the FCS world and football Division I world to be able to play because they got kicked out of their league at the Division III level. That normally is about a 10-year process, and they've been able to push it, and I think they're going to do it in about 3 or 4, speed that process up. So I would think James Madison's got that opportunity. I know they're going to try to push it to see if they can. It's our new Sun Belt world is created, we are going to have an incredibly strong program. And you know, based on current environments, the east part of this new division, Canley is going to be a pretty strong football and basketball league, baseball. And so we've got some great programs and great stories to tell, and it's going to be incredibly competitive.
And, Charlie, last question before we let you go. As an athletic director of a school making a transition, what do you do to try to ease the mind of the student-athlete who's given up his junior year, given up his senior year without an opportunity to win a championship? How do you make him feel like what he's going through is worth it?
Yeah, you know, it's he or she, because you know, if I've learned one thing, we got a lot of young women in these programs that are, man, they're tougher than most guys in terms of how they compete, and I know it in my own life with my wife and my daughter, and you look at it from that end, but you have a chance to play for NCAA championships, and so let's take James Madison as an example. If the Colonial, you know, makes it, you know, sticks to it, and then there's some conversations that they might stick to this band that they have, but I'm speaking for them, but you know, JMU made a great run in softball this past year. Well, those kids, you know, they may not win the conference championship, but they got a chance to be in the NCAA tournament and make a run like that, and that's the story for them that can be told. And so you just sell your kids on the idea that nothing's really changed. I was talking to a friend the other night. I think for a couple of our teams that had really, really good years, we bought championship rings. We kind of created our own championships for them, and we gave them rings and did the typical celebration as if they won a conference championship. Because I think the irony is that in most cases, your schedule stays the same. It's just you don't count in the standings. And in our case at App, we were able to do that. We didn't get to host a couple of championships that we were scheduled to host. And so, at the end of the day, it's part of a bigger picture. And it's if we've learned anything from COVID, nothing is normal. And, you know, I would think, not really looking at it, but one of the things that the JMU kids, there's probably a good number of them that are actually getting an extra year to play because of COVID. So maybe you sell them on the idea, hey, look, nothing's guaranteed, but you get this extra year to play. Just go have fun and compete at the highest level you can, and be satisfied with your effort, and let's see where it goes.
He's the athletic director at Georgia State. He's also a member of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. You can follow him on Twitter at CCOB Georgia State AD. Charlie, buddy, good catching up, man. Appreciate coming on.
Yeah, it's
on
awesome,
today.
Man. It's great to hear your voice. It's been a while for sure, so it's awesome to hear from you. So.
Well, maybe we'll see you at the Myrtle Beach Bowl.
Absolutely, man. Look forward to it.
All right, bud. See you.
Thanks, man. Take care. Bye.
Charlie Cobb, athletic director, Georgia State. Follow him on Twitter at CCOB Georgia State AD, joining us on the State Tama Hotline.